everyone. This is Carrie L. And this is Carrie L's HeartLink Show. And I'm the host for the next hour. And I'm going to ask you to just allow the sacred love to flow through you now. And breathe in and relax. And the blessing of the day comes from the Gayatri Prayer. Let us focus on that effulgent light from which the whole universe is projected. May this inner sun enlighten our minds and hearts. And may we awaken as that light. All right, well, good things are coming your way. We have a wonderful guest on today, Reverend Juliet Nightingale. And I've been looking forward to this for some time. And I heard Juliet, and I'm new to the BBS broadcasting system, but I've been listening to her show now, and she's also a host. And she's so refreshing, and this beautiful angelic energy surrounds her. So I'm looking forward to that energy. And we'll be speaking on near-death experiences. So that's pretty profound. And in fact, it's so profound, I wanted to pull out my crop circle cards and draw a card for the day, for that energy around NDE energy. And I pulled out the New Beginnings card. That's the New Beginnings. And I just found that that was pretty interesting to draw that card. And I just want to take a moment to read from my crop circle cards little booklet here. And just so you know, I do have this wonderful oracle called the crop circle cards. And what it says about new beginnings is it says, I am a dimensional doorway into new worlds of higher consciousness. I ensure your evolutionary survival. I am the goddess's great womb, the great void, where chaos transforms into form and order. The options are great. I am like waves of unfolding and pulsing energies that require emotional alignment with spirit in order to bridge two worlds, the old and the new, without fear. You may feel my energy is like a black hole of free-falling chaos. You may be spiraling away from a fear-based reality and into a whole new reality where fear does not exist. It is time to let go of fear and resistance and become a conduit or receptacle for the flow of creative energy of light and love. Enjoy the possibilities. You have the wonderful freedom to expand. So that was from the Crop Circle Cards, the Living Oracle. And you can go to my website at heartlinkinstitute.com and check out all that's on that. And if you're interested in checking out the Crop Circle Cards as well. And I'm very interested in the ascension process right now that's underway. And I believe our next guest is really going to help us out with information for that. And just so you know, we will be taking phone calls at the bottom of the hour. So I will share with you the numbers now, or you can, of course, if you're on the computer, which you must be, you'll probably see the numbers right there. The toll-free USA number is 877-876-5227. Canada only is 888-815-9756. And international is 530-876-322. And we welcome your calls if you want to share perhaps a near-death experience of your own very briefly, or if you have a question for our guest, who I'm going to introduce now, Reverend Juliet Nightingale. And as I say, she is profound. She has her own show. And she is a mystic and a seer and has had numerous near-death experiences and out-of-body experiences, all of which have been transformational. So I welcome you, Juliet. How are you?
Well, thank you very much. I'm doing quite well. It's so lovely to be speaking with you. And I really loved what the oracle card you drew. It's quite auspicious, especially in the context of all the work that I've been doing and the experiences and the theme of transformation and transcendence really does seem to be in the air right now. So I'm really pleased that you drew that card and that particular message for so many reasons is really quite fitting.
I thought it was pretty right on.
Yes.
And so you have had your own near-death experience, or several actually. Would you care to describe what that means? What is a near-death experience? And tell us how you were involved in that.
Well, actually, near-death experience is quite a misnomer because, most of us don't just come near death. We actually do experience death of the body. And I am one who tends to avoid the word death because we don't really die. Our bodies may die, but that's really no different from discarding a piece of clothing that you no longer need. And what's interesting about that is let's example an astronaut or a cosmonaut identifying with his spacesuit and claiming that that's his identity and that's his selfhood. It's not. It's just a suit that he wears in order to traverse through that particular environment that he's got to be in. The same thing is so with these physical bodies that we don't whilst we're traversing through the dense vibrational frequency of the physical plane. So when we leave our bodies, when we experience physical death either for a few moments or a few days or indefinitely, what merely happens is that we just drop the body and we leave the body behind. But the interesting thing is we continue to be. We continue to have our own identity. We continue to have consciousness. We even continue to have emotions. But what's interesting is with your card drawing here that you were just talking about is that the emotional state normally transcends into a higher emotional state that is aligned with the soul self as opposed to being ego-identified. So when I died, and I have died a few times, I like to call it an eternal life experience because actually that's what we experience is the, you know, we really tap into eternal life. I've died of pneumonia when I was a small child a few times. I've had double pneumonia over a dozen times and was actually in hospital just as much as I was in school, to be honest. And then in the mid-70s I had it, and I was a grown-up, of course, in the mid-70s. I had a very profound death experience from cancer.
And how old were you?
I was, 33. And then what was interesting is I flatlined on my 34th birthday.
Wow.
So, you know, I can actually claim two ages and have them both be accurate because I am, and that's what was so interesting was to actually lose all vital signs on my birthday, which is 2nd February, and then a few days after that is when I fully came out of the coma. What is called as a spontaneous recovery, because it really wasn't anything that any medical people did.
They had already declared you.
Well, yes,
I guess you were brain dead, or what requires you to be dead? I guess.
Well, when you lose all vital signs, when there's no heartbeat, no pulse, and nothing registering on the EEG, which stands for electroencephalogram, that is what measures the brain waves. So when both of those flatline, you are clinically dead.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
When there's no breathing, and there's no breath, no heartbeat, and no nothing being registered in the EEG, you are clinically dead. It can last anywhere from a few seconds to minutes to hours, and then some people have actually been dead for a few days and then came back to life.
Did they tell you how long you were dead, or how?
No, actually, I don't know. I don't recall how long I was dead, but I was in a coma altogether for about 6 weeks, and then losing the vital signs on my birthday. I recently had Dr. Peter Finnick on my show, which is Toward the Light, which is on Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 p.m. UK time.
Michael.
Dr. Peter Finnick was on my show. And he's a psychiatrist who's done incredible research on near-death experiences and has actually pointed out that the NDE happens during the flatline, because he's done a lot of observations of people, you know, when they flatlined, and so he was pointing all of this up when he was on the show. Also, Dr. Pim van Lommel, he's a Dutch physician who specializes in cardiology. He also came up with the same conclusions with all of his research. In fact, he retired from cardiology just to devote all of his work on the research of the near-death experience.
Hmm. Well, so presuming the brain is dead during an NDE, then how is the brain remembering what occurs during?
Because it's not the brain that remembers. It's not the brain that possesses consciousness. If you can get the idea, all right, you've got a radio, you're listening to music, and then suddenly the radio pops out. But the broadcast is still taking place, even though your radio doesn't work anymore.
You just switched channels, yeah.
And you know, what happens is that our consciousness is the broadcaster, not the brain. The brain is merely the receiver of the broadcast. Now, again, getting back to this suit that we wear when we are traversing through the physical plane, the brain is what decodes the information that enables us to use it and understand it from consciousness on the physical plane. So the brain would be equivalent to the radio or the TV set, and the consciousness is being broadcast and received through the brain, but not from the brain. So the broadcast and the consciousness are completely separate from the brain or the radio.
So
the consciousness, you know, I was happening. I was alive, not in the body, of course, but my consciousness was very sharp and very alert during these experiences, even though, yes, my body was in a comatose state and then flatlined, as I said.
At this juncture, I guess, you know, there will be some skeptics. And what do you want to say to those who are skeptical that are saying, oh, it was hallucinating, you're, you know, that there were, you were definitely having a bad dream or something? What would you say to them?
Well, I'd say to them, go to my website, towardthelight.org, and study. There's over 110 pages, 111 pages on there.
And towardthelight.org.
Correct. And also, again, actually, if they go to the near-death studies section, they will see a number of articles, including articles penned by Dr. Peter Finnick, Dr. Pim van Lommel, David Icke, and myself, and Dr. Claude Swanson, all pointing out the difference between a near-death state and a hallucination.
Mm.
Also, when people hallucinate, they're not clear-minded. Also, they would not have the memory of the event so clearly and consistently and precisely as one who experiences near-death states.
Well, I loved your article about the dying process, and Go through that experience. When you describe what you went through, you seem to become even more conscious, you said.
Absolutely. Absolutely, I did. What's interesting is that our consciousness is actually toggling between dimensions. In other words, as we are starting to detach from the physical plane, we are no longer focused on that or identified with the physical plane, which is just, you know, one frequency.
Mm-hmm.
So then as I was dying, and I'm describing the dying process with the cancer, I actually was starting to see more vivid, vibrant colors, hearing beautiful sounds, and seeing things that are on other dimensions. So that's what I mean when I say I'm toggling back and forth, because I was still somewhat aware of things going on the physical plane, but it was becoming less meaningful and making less sense to me. Like, for example, when somebody would hand me a printed page or something, it could be a, you know, sheet of paper, it could be a magazine, a newspaper, what have you, none of that made any sense to me anymore, because my consciousness was shifting onto or into a different plane and realm of consciousness and awareness. And yet, the colors and the imagery were very powerful and profound. And what's interesting about that is that when I actually lapsed into a coma, when my body lapsed into a coma, I wasn't aware of suddenly just being knocked out, as it were, and then experiencing blackness. No, I didn't experience that at all, because I was, you know, my consciousness just shifted to another plane now.
So you didn't experience like going through a wormhole or something like that?
No, I didn't. It was really interesting, and I could see other beings and other how do you call it, imagery and places and that sort of thing, but I couldn't tell you exactly where one left off and the other began, because it was sort of a bleeding over of one into the other.
Mm-hmm.
And so from my vantage point, I was always conscious. The interesting thing is that as I got closer to the death of the body, I experienced less pain, or less awareness of pain, because once I left the body, there was no more any pain. There was no more worry. There was no more fear. There was no more questioning, you know, is everything going to be all right? I moved into the deep knowing. I moved into that complete communion with Source, with the light, and experiencing unconditional love. Now, sadly, unconditional love has become such a cliche these days. It's a watered-down, diluted, meaningless word in a lot of instances anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm here to say that what so many of us experience on the other side is indeed unconditional love, and it can't be described. You have to experience it. But once you do, you know what it is. And it is the most powerful and profound experience that one could ever have.
Did it feel like you were communing with God, or what? How would you describe that love? What was the?
It's very interesting, because I don't really think of God as an entity per se, like we are. Because all of us make up the stuff of God, of Source, of the light, whatever you want to call it. But indeed, I would say that I was in communion with at least an aspect of this light source. And it, you know, again, how do I come up with words for this, really? Because it's so beyond words. And even all these years later, and I had another near-death experience from meningitis in 1989, and I just felt this profound love once again. But the the thing about this is that with all of these experiences and all of the research that we're doing, I'm still digging and digging and really trying to grok completely what I went through. And I think that it's going to continue to be a process of discovery.
Mm-hmm.
But I did feel and experience that connection with Source. But one time I described it just like tapping the tip of the iceberg, because it is something that is so grand and so magnificent that I can't think that, oh yeah, I saw the whole of Source itself. I'm sure that I just was tapping a little tiny particle of it. But that love was unmistakable. And that you know, knowing always that without question we are connected with Source. We can never be separate from Source because we are a part of Source. This whole duality thing is an illusion. It's not real. And this is what we need to move away from, because once we move from this perspective of duality and separation, that's when the fear is going to be dissolved, because fear is a low vibrational frequency that is a byproduct of this perception of duality and separateness.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's so timely to be discovering this part of our being, you know, that can transcend this third dimension and enter other dimensions. Because it's just time for our consciousness to acknowledge that. It just feels like so many more people, you know, they're dealing with their multidimensionality through numerous ways. And of course, NDE is one of the ways. And,
exactly.
Meditation or the out of body experiences. And so, as we are awakening, it's so essential to not just be living only in this third dimension.
Oh, indeed. And a little bit good news that I'd like to share with everyone is the fact that one doesn't have to experience physical death in order to experience this transcendent state of awareness.
Excellent.
Yes.
Are you saying meditation or through other processes?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, you know, I could just be sitting at my piano playing and then all of a sudden I'm transported. I could be sitting at a table thinking about somebody I love and then all of a sudden I go into what we commonly refer to as a spiritually transformative experience, or STE, which is very comparable to an NDE, except that you're not experiencing physical death. But what happens during that experience is that you feel that complete oneness with all that is and with all life. There's absolutely no sense whatever of being separate, of being dualistic, of these polarities, of fear. None of that. You know that you are a part of Source. You know that love is real and that is all that is real. And all of this other stuff is just illusion that will, ultimately be dissolved.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, depending on whether you believe in reincarnation.
Absolutely.
I'm assuming that, you know, a lot of us have been around numerous times, and many of us at this point have recognized it's time to get off the wheel.
Yes.
And, to transcend and go to way higher dimensions.
Well, thanks for making that point, Kyle, because it is a wheel and somewhat of a trap, as it were, because we don't need to keep experiencing this, perpetual reincarnation. We can actually transcend all of that and move into a higher state of being and still be totally, you know, who we are. And that's a huge part of the campaign, as it were. The work that I'm doing is to help people overcome their fear of death, because, again, death is just a transitional period. You know, it's like moving house. Yes, it's traumatic when we're looking at a huge change, but we don't lose who we are.
Well, you are a member of the International Association for Near-Death Studies.
Correct.
And you've been assisting others, as you say, in your therapy, in your counseling practice. And what I guess there's going to be different levels listening right now of people who have experienced perhaps something similar. What about the person who's on their deathbed who doesn't have a clue as to what we're talking about when we talk about the different dimensions? What's a tool right now that we could offer them to make their transition as comfortable as possible and not to fear it?
Well, that's a good point. In fact, Dr. Peter Finnig and Dr. Pimann Lamel and I were talking, interestingly, on both shows, you know, making the point of dying well. Mm. You know, there's a whole thing to that. And in fact, the president of IANS just rang me up a couple of days ago because they're wanting to start a committee and have me on that committee about helping to educate caregivers, people in hospice, people in hospitals, and individual caregivers and physicians and what have you, about what death and dying is really all about.
Well, they're going to need it, especially at this time when the baby boomers are, you know, at this juncture, so many will be making the crossover in the next few years. And
I'm a war baby.
Some aren't even baby boomers. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it doesn't have to be. You may just be making that choice anyway to make the crossover.
And getting back to answering your question is that what happens when people are on the deathbed is that typically they'll start to toggle as I did. Okay? So, you know, some people might be nervous at first, oh, my God, what's going to happen? But then what happens is that when they start to move into other dimensions, they'll start having, you know, often they'll have deathbed visions or DBVs, and they will see a loved one or a few loved ones and friends, and they'll start conversing with them. And I really want to make a note of this, is that when a caregiver or a loved one is coming into the room of the dying person, and the dying person appears to be conversing with someone that you can't see, that doesn't mean that someone isn't actually there, because it is a loved one, a friend, or, as I said, it could be more than one individual coming to greet that individual. And often they say, okay, we're going to come for you tomorrow. And then the dying person will say, oh, my loved one is coming for me tomorrow. And sure enough, that's when the person transitions. And then the dying person might even say, like if a loved one is coming to say, oh, we're coming to take you home now. The dying person might say, but I'm not ready yet. And so then the loved one will say, all right, then we'll be back at such and such a time. So then the dying person will, you know, maybe that person's waiting to say goodbye to someone or to, you know, deal with closure for something. And then sure enough, that person will transition. So normally what happens is that as one is getting closer to death, the fear does dissipate because, again, that individual is toggling into other dimensions, and there's a real peace that usually comes over the individual and a reassurance, because this person starts to realize that he or she is definitely not alone, that there are loved ones surrounding that individual. And also, if there, well, naturally, there is going to be a caregiver, a loved one, or someone nearby, usually, I know not 100% of the time, depending on the situation the dying person may be in. And that's why it's so important to let caregivers know that this is not the end. This is just a transition. And that's why I remove the word death and I use the word transition. You're moving house. You're transitioning into another plane. Mm-hmm. and you will still be alive, and you will be very happy, and actually you will have a lot more freedom than you do on the physical plane.
From what I understand, yeah, you can move freely, you can be in places in an instant without need for a vehicle any longer.
Absolutely, yeah, I didn't need to deal with getting somebody to drive me somewhere whilst I was on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of like being a bubble. It was just such a glorious sensation to feel so light and free and clear.
Mm-hmm.
No sense of pain.
Not sick any longer. You're healthy, actually, aren't you?
Yes. In fact, people who do have these experiences report that the pain and the suffering that they're enduring suddenly is gone. And they just have no sense of pain or fatigue whatsoever. And I certainly didn't. There was no weariness, no pain, nothing like that. And I was sharp as a tack. Another point that I would like to make that's quite interesting is that, you know, a lot of people would say, oh, well, you know, when your brain has been starved of oxygen for that long, yada, yada, you're supposed to be brain dead and all of that. But what happens is that near-death experiences end up being a lot more intelligent and bright and psychic and having, you know, intuitive, psychic, whatever you want to call it. They're just a lot more, they've got a lot more faculties intact when they return from the other side. And so
I know Damien Brinkley talks about, you know, his experience of being struck by lightning, and you know, it's amazing and how psychic he was afterwards.
Yes, that's
incredible.
Very, very typical. And what it did for me actually was it validated me as a mystic, because I've always had these capacities. But I think that going through these experiences enhanced them and gave me more confidence in these abilities. Like, it's all right. You're not a nutter, you know, having these abilities. And there's nothing wrong or demonic or whatever some of these people will say about being aware. There's absolutely nothing, whatever, wrong with it. So we do become a lot more sensitive. You know, I don't eat meat, and I haven't eaten any meat since the 1960s. I am prone to allergies. I tend to mess things up that are electronic, my poor computer. I can't wear a watch. And I could be walking down a street, and then I'll see a street light just blip out, you know, and it's, oh, sorry, didn't mean to do that to you. You know,
you're one of those, are you?
Yeah.
I don't want you coming near my computer.
Oh, dear. Yeah, it's pretty interesting that I will have.
Well, you know, I've heard that all sorts of new capacities become a side effect. What would you say? Now, see, I respond to symbols, you know, and I'm... So if I'm going to have a near-death, and I haven't yet, and I don't really intend to.
You can have an STE. That'll work.
Well, you know, I have had out-of-body. I have flying dreams, out-of-body dreams. So I know, I do believe that's possible.
And you actually are going out-of-body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why our body sleeps, so that we can, you know, get off to business that we need to take care of, because... you know, we don't really need to sleep. It's just our bodies that need to sleep so that we can be doing other important things. And so...
Are you saying we're busy at night?
Oh, very much so.
Sometimes I wake up in the morning and I say, I need to go back to sleep.
Yeah, you're tired because you've been busy. And it's true. So you can have a lot of experiences out of body and gain a lot of wisdom. And I was going to say, I too definitely respond to symbols.
When you had your experience, does anything stand out in terms of the symbolic nature of that experience, or were there any elements to that would be like metaphors for you, or I don't know.
Jeez.
Did you see celebrities on the other side?
Well, I don't really focus on them, even though
I'm joking. If I saw a celebrity, I would hope it would be a spiritual celebrity.
Yeah, what's interesting is that, having a background in the music business, of course, I knew a number of, recording artists and stuff like that, but, comment I'll make about that is that we often see what we expect to see when we cross over, or it will be contingent on where our consciousness is, where our thoughts are, where our feelings are, and that sort of thing. I'm just going to be really frank here. I don't believe in Jesus. I don't believe that Jesus was actually a real figure, that actually existed. I believe that Jesus is a metaphor, so talk about symbols. Jesus is a symbol of the sun, and the disciples are the signs of the zodiac.
And that's what I meant. I mean, if I saw a figure such as Jesus, I too would interpret it from more the metaphor of what that means.
Exactly. And me, I didn't see a figure like that because I wasn't looking for that, and I didn't resonate with that. I just beheld this intensely glorious, loving light that was enveloping me.
It was more, it sounds like the sense of the feeling of it rather than, I don't know. Well,
I could feel it and I could also see the light.
It
definitely had a distinct variance of colors to it. And
was it pulsing light or?
Yes, it did pulse a lot. Yes, that's a good question. It actually did pulse a lot. And another interesting thing about it is that it could shift in color. Sometimes it would be like a peachy white. Some people refer to it as a golden white. I refer to it more as like a peachy. It had a little bit of a blush kind of color to it. Mm. And then I could see the white light. Sadly, I've been doing a lot of research lately where some people are saying that there's avoid the white light because that's a trap. So I guess, I'm going to have to start making a distinction between the true white light and then the false white light, which is coming from some sinister entities that are trying to mislead us and that sort of thing. But another point that I want to make is that everything had radiance to it.
Mm.
And very, very different from the physical plane.
When you say everything, I guess, again, my question is, well, what did you see? Everything?
Oh, gosh. Well, they should read about my indie. It's quite long, actually, the transcendent one. It's on towardthelight.org. Again, if you click on the category near death studies, you'll see Nightingale's NDE, because I saw a number of things. And first, it was almost as if I was in like a circular enclosure where there were windows, and each window beheld a different scene. And so as I would focus on a specific window, then I was suddenly at that scene, not necessarily in it or participating in it, but just seeing it, sort of like if you're focusing on a window on your computer and then you make it full screen and then you're just really seeing it hugely and in intricate detail.
Was this past life or actual life review type of stuff?
All of the above. I saw past life stuff. I saw the life review of this life. And I also experienced future events, which is very interesting. And in fact, I want to interject here that I've got a friend who's a fellow NDE who's looking for people who have had prophetic near-death experiences because he's writing a book about prophetic NDEs. So, if anybody listening has had a prophetic near-death experience and knows of anyone who has done, feel free to contact me and I will turn you on to that individual. So anyway, I did have those experiences, and also being able to focus on something and have it manifest immediately, or focus on some place and suddenly I was there.
Did you come to some kind of reconciliation in terms of your lives? Is that what that was about, or?
Well, one thing.
Graduation.
And that's what happens when the physical body dies, is that we graduate, we move on to something bigger and better and more freeing. The thing about the life review is that we judge ourselves. Mm. There's no he, God, sitting on a throne judging us.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there's nobody whatsoever judging us except ourselves. It's just sort of like being in a room watching a cinema of your life. And, it's uncomfortable for sure, because what happens is that you become aware of how you've impacted others throughout your life. You could actually feel their thoughts and feelings.
Mm-hmm.
You experience them as if you are that person. It can definitely cause discomfort, but the beauty of this is that, again, there's nobody judging you, nobody going to cast you anywhere. It's just like...
You're coming clean.
You're coming clean, and you're getting a sense of, all right, well, I've got to work on this, and, we make mistakes, and that's all right.
Mm-hmm.
And then you enhance the positive... aspects of the life reveal too, because of course it's not all going to be negative, but we are very hard on ourselves.
Well, what would you tell, would Hitler experience also that kind of, I guess...
Everybody does.
Mm.
And see, Hitler is made up of the same divine substance that we all are, but when he incarnated as Hitler, that was his job. That was... the work that he had to fulfill, because all of this is for helping us to become more aware of what is real, what is true, what works and what doesn't work. So it's like going into the laboratory. Sometimes we can't know what works until we do this trial and error thing and find out what doesn't work.
Well, and that's exactly what's on the world stage right now, isn't it?
Oh, yes, it is. Absolutely, it
big
is.
Big time.
Hugely.
What do you see down the road? I mean, with your prophetic sightings, was there anything, any good news?
Do I want to share the good news. Blimey, because I've been doing a lot of grieving with the stuff that I'm seeing that's not so attractive, but... All right, all of that aside, the good news is that as things in our world are becoming more challenging and difficult and painful, we are being controlled and manipulated and by this sinister dark shadow government that controls the entire planet, thank you very much. But the fact is, and David Icke and I were talking about this recently too, which is so exciting to me, is that there's a lot more dialogue going on about things that are happening or things that are real or true. There's a lot more dialogue about near-death experiences. It was only a few years ago that I was still in the closet myself. And then all of a sudden I'm on radio all over the place and in newspapers and magazines all over the place, and I just came out. No turning back.
People are just ready. They're hungry.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So there's a lot of dialogue going on,
mm-hmm.
which is wonderful, because people are talking about things. People are asking questions. It's important that you ask questions. It's important that you have an open mind and heart. Even if things just seem totally bizarre and weird to you, be open, because things are not what they seem.
Well, and that is the thing. The trick is to really keep centered as best one can.
Oh, yes.
Especially when the world around you is in such chaos.
It really is.
It really. And, you know, we're in a moment. I'm wondering if you have thought about doing something special at the end of the show. I don't know if you had time to think up something.
Well, I'm pleased to do that, and I'll be spontaneous as I am with everything. But one point that I would like to make is that in spite of the encroachment of the dark forces that are really tightening the screws on everybody right now, no matter what, the light and love will prevail, because, I mean, just the fact that people are having dialogues about this means that people are waking up. This is tremendously good news. David and I were talking about the fact people are feeling uncomfortable with things. They're saying, no, I don't like this. This isn't going to work for me. And this is good, because from there they'll start talking about it and then thinking of ways to rectify it. But the important thing is that we need to have our own thoughts rather than allowing others or some system to think for us or to dictate our lives. So it's very important that we listen to our intuition, that we listen to our dreams, that we listen to our hunches, that we have our own thoughts, that we keep ourselves centered in love. And in fact, when I'm very frightened, and maybe I'll do this with the exercise, because sometimes I'll go through these bouts of feeling sheer terror. Now, again, fear is not a natural state. It's an acquired one. So, and it's a low, low, low vibrational frequency, very long wavelengths that are low and long wavelengths. Love, on the other hand, is a very short and high wavelength. So it's a completely different frequency altogether. So when I get frightened, I just keep reminding myself, go back into the love, go back into the love, go back into the love, because that's where we get the clarity, and that's where we have that sense of oneness and total power. We can't be destroyed when we are in a place of love, because the dark forces feed off of the fear. We don't want to give them a feast.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very important that we keep ourselves in the vibrational frequency of love, because that will enable us to be immune to these dark forces.
Wonderful.
Hopefully that makes sense. And I also like to use the Gayatri, because the Gayatri is wonderful, although I learned the Sanskrit version of it. Om Bhavasvaha Tatsavidovaranga Bhago Divisya Dimi Dio Yuna Prato Dayat. I don't know that I'm pronouncing it properly for the Sanskrit, but that anyway.
Oh, when you say it in the original form, that's the power. That's where the real power comes from.
I think everyone should venture to learn the Gayatri, actually, because it is addressing the light and being imbued with the light.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, we have about 6 or 7 minutes. And I thought maybe you can, you know, I know you're so intuitive and so healing, and what you just said is so healing. Do you want to do a short meditation as well, or?
Sure. Well, I'll just guide everyone to relax, to, you know, get yourself comfortable. And let's focus on this light and unconditional love, because even though you might not be able to feel it or even grok it right now, as it were, it is what is ultimately real and true. And it is surrounding you at all times. So what we're going to focus on is raising our vibrational frequency to a higher frequency, the frequency of love. So think of it as music, because everything has got a tone. Everything has got a vibrational frequency. Everything is energy. You are energy. Energy cannot be destroyed. It evolves. It changes. So now we are moving into a higher frequency of love. Go back into the love, because that is who you really are. You are always a part of all that is, the light source, whatever you choose to call it. You can never be separate from source. You are source. You are that love. You are that light. That is your true identity. Anything else is false and is not who you are. And as you're focusing on this wonderful light that is enveloping you at all times, and it's rather sweet, and sometimes the light will be very playful, because we need to lighten up and be full of joy and have humor. And also experiencing gratitude. Having an attitude of gratitude is very important, no matter what. So feel this light surrounding you now. And perceive what color it might be, because the light can manifest itself in different colors. And it is very, very healing. Feel it permeating your entire being. You might start to feel a little bit of tingling here and there. You might start to feel a little bit of tickling. The light is very loving and very sweet. The light doesn't judge you. The light only loves you and imbues you with life. And life is eternal. You can never lose who you are under any circumstances. As you're feeling this light surrounding you, be aware of what might come into your heart center. Pay attention to that. Think about things that bring you joy. It is very, very important to do this right now, because this helps to raise your frequency into that of love. When you are in a space of love, no harm can come to you. You will gain a great deal of clarity, peace of mind, and this will enable you to tap into your deep knowing, because you are pure consciousness, and we do have infinite possibility. We are not finite mortal beings at all. We are infinite beings with infinite consciousness. And whilst you're traversing on this plane, tune your radio to a higher frequency and keep it there. You do not need to listen to negative, harsh messages that are coming to you from other places. You can disregard that. A lot of people are concerned about the wars, are concerned about financial matters and all of that kind of stuff. But if you are in a place of love, you will be given the answers to know what you need to do. And it's important not to worry, because worry is counterproductive. And when you are in a place of love, and also allowing yourself to be in the present, in the now, because you never know what miracle could happen just even a minute from now. So not to worry about tomorrow, not to worry about yesterday. Just be in the moment and focus on staying in the present throughout your waking hours. And being in this place of love and remembering that love is surrounding you at all times, in spite of these aggressive forces that are trying to distract you. They are not real. They are not about who you really are. And that energy is ultimately going to dissolve. And that's why I put on my website and announce at the end of my show, only love prevails. It is only with the heart that one can see rightly. What is essential is invisible to the eye. So staying in the heart center is very important, because that's your direct link to the light source. The light source speaks to you through your heart, not through your brain. So trust in your intuition. Trust in the feelings that you have. Love yourself no matter what sort of imperfections or flaws you may perceive in your physical makeup. That's not who you are. What's written on your ID card is not who you are. Nobody can steal your identity, and you cannot die. You cannot perish. You never will perish because you are infinite possibility. You are infinite consciousness. You are always at one with the light source. So keep feeling that light permeating your being. And whenever you're feeling yourself starting to struggle or to worry or to be frightened, remember to focus on raising your vibrational frequency and maybe to say to yourself, go back to the love, go back to the love, because it isn't somewhere out there, far and away. It is right within you. It is available to you at all times. Trust in that love. Talk to the source and talk to others that you know and love, even if they are not physically with you, because they will hear you. And then trust in your own experiences of when you perceive somebody speaking back to you. It's very important to trust your intuition and to trust the messages that come to you in your dreams, because these are sources of guidance that will help you and carry you through these changes. This is a powerful time that we are in, and your beautiful, beautiful beings are growing and evolving and moving back toward the light. So trust in that. Give yourself a big hug and stay with the light. Whatever you do, remember, only love prevails.
Wonderful. And with that, people go to Reverend Juliet Nightingale's website at towardthelight.org. And this is Carrie L's HeartLink, and we're so glad we have had this opportunity. Thank you, Juliet.
It's an honor. It's an honor.
And next week we'll have, or in 2 weeks, we'll have William Henry, an investigative mythologist, and he will be talking also about stargates and ascension. And, wow, I'm just excited about that. So looking forward to that. Have a happy Thanksgiving. Goodbye.